Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I'm your host, Mallory, and I'm here to show you just how weird this world of ours really is. So today, we're going to talk about weird things that I found in Washington, D.C. So I've been spending most of my time now back in Richmond, Virginia. That is my hometown. And because of that, I've been working with and serving as a member of the event board for the Explorers Club in Washington, D.C. So I've been up there quite a bit recently. It's pretty close to where I am. And anywhere that I spend a lot of time at, even some places that I just visit for a day, my very first question to everyone involved is, what's the weirdest thing I can find here? And that is exactly what I did the last time I went up to DC. I grabbed a couple of friends, we went on an adventure, and you would not believe the weirdness that exists out there in Washington, DC. Man, but I'm going to tell you all about it. I will also take this moment to, again, apologize for having kind of a raspy voice. I've been having bouts in and out of tonsillitis, just seriously, for several months now. 17 days of antibiotics and then some sore throats later, and still not fully over it, so hopefully I don't sound too different, but it is what it is. And also, it's like 110 degrees, something insane up here in my sound booth, which is on our third floor where we live. It's our game room, and there's a nice little closet here that I converted into my makeshift sound booth. Mike, that was for you. And it's fabulous, but the problem is there's no central air up here because it used to just be an attic and it was converted. So there is like a little tiny mini AC unit, but it definitely does not hit my sound closet. And it's like 79 degrees. It's like 79 degrees downstairs. And when I head downstairs from up here, it feels so nice and cool. So that'll just give you an idea. And I'm definitely sweating bullets. I know TMI, but tons of fire and heat and sweat up here. So wonderful. Anyway, let's get on the topic of the weird things to do in Washington, D.C. So something that I've truly found joy in since COVID times has been exploring the local places that can be found practically in my own backyard. When we were forced indoors and unable to travel in 2020 and into 2021, I instead took advantage of locating places near home that I never would have checked out otherwise. When I was in Los Angeles, this consisted of going on a hunt for the spider pool, which is a whole thing in and of itself. You should Google it. I found the California Institute of Abnormal Arts, which is where a very interesting man runs a club with a strange sideshow and collection of oddities, and he has several dead bodies on display, which is just something else. It's also when I had my first real excursion into the Monroe Institute meditations from home. So nothing but good things have come out of me trying to explore locally. And I think if COVID taught us anything, that's what it was, is that there's so many amazing and weird and unique and wonderful places that exist right outside of our houses, I mean, in our own backyards, that we tend to overlook because when we go to travel, at least I know I do, you know, the mindset is to go as far away as possible or to all these exotic places. And sometimes we overlook what's nearby. So now, when I have a free day, why not find a place nearby that I would love to explore and check out nearby? That way I can easily get the experience of travel in my own backyard, and it's silly that by nature we tend to neglect places near us. So I found myself in Washington, D.C., partially for that reason, partially because of the Explorers Club meetings and happy hours. And I wanted to put together a trip of bizarre and strange places in D.C., having realized that I have only been to the mainstream monuments and places in the D.C. area, which, I mean, really, who doesn't love the Smithsonians? I could spend all day at them regularly. But why not find more obscure things? Because that's my thing, and for some reason, I guess because I grew up so close to Washington, D.C., I never did that. So without further ado, here are a couple of the very uniquely weird finds that I discovered in Washington, D.C. The very first one, this place is amazing and crazy. It serves as a, like, adventurous day outing for you to explore in. It also serves as a hotel. It's the Mansion on O Street, or the O Street Mansion. The Mansion on O Street is like nothing I have ever done before. It was bizarre, fun, mysterious, and absolutely wonderful. So you can make a reservation for the night. Like I said, it is an active hotel, or just pay a small fee for a tour in the daytime. This wild structure spans about five townhouses connected together as one large mansion in the DC area, and they are all interconnected with hidden doors of varying shapes and sizes, each leading to another vibrantly exciting corridor of the house. Rosa Parks spent a lot of time there and had a room at the mansion where she lived for many years, and you can explore and find her room. There's a hidden wine cellar, an Elvis room within it, a hidden Halloween corridor, a fashion alley, a cabin, and a variety of wildly eccentric and exciting places. There are 70 hidden doors and hundreds of rooms you can discover, some as tiny as a little peephole. And while I can say that my door-finding game is pretty strong, there were still several places I know I missed out on. What makes the mansion even more unique, aside from the fact that you can stay in some of the rooms, is the fact that it also works like a uniquely bizarre thrift store. There are items, clothing, and furniture spread throughout there for sale. Everything is pretty much for sale except for the stuff that's bolted in. I think the woman told us, you can't buy the toilets, which sounds like an interesting thing to remark on, but apparently many people try to buy the toilets because they're so unique. So you get a unique vintage shopping experience out of your exploration. I cannot recommend this place enough, as it's perfect for those who love vintage, who love the bizarre, and who frankly just love opening doors and exploring the unknown. So it's perfect for us Explorers Club members. And of course, for those who love puzzles, it's for you too. If you're into the strange, you cannot miss the Mansion on O Street. That's my, like, professional write-up here, but I have to go on some side tangents or it wouldn't be the podcast that we all know and love. The Mansion on O Street. When we first came in, they, you know, we had reservations and they took us in and they let us watch this little video that showed, you know, the history of the place, the rooms you could find, and kind of laid out the rules of, like, you know, you can pretty much push and touch anything, but, you know, like, what to avoid and what not to do. And I love that it's so immersive. You kind of just get to explore through everything and try to find the hidden doors. And of my group, I had two of my friends with me. I will say that I was definitely the prime door finder, not to toot my own horn. It kind of excited my love for reasonable deduction. I hope this isn't spoiling too much, but this is just how I live my life, looking at things in great detail. When we were in the O Street Mansion and I wanted to find a hidden door, it was pretty obvious where a lot of them were because it would be in the walls or on the structures or in the things that didn't have any paintings on them. The place is so, or like pictures or things for sale, the place is so full and covered of vintage finds and pictures and CDs and vinyls and just tons of, you know, art galore and fun accent pieces. But whenever you would see a wall that didn't have something on it, it's like, well, that very clearly opens because they don't want things to fall off of it, because why else would they not use this space? Because everything else is very, very well, like, covered and spaced out. So it was kind of a mixture of that versus, I mean, a door has to have a hinge. So there's only so much you can do to hide it. Like, there are some that are very well hidden. However, you know, I mean, if you can open it, it's a hidden door. And if it has hinges, it's a hidden door. And if there's just nothing in this space right here, I bet you there's a hidden door. And, you know, you could so easily get turned around because it's so many stories high. I believe they said four or five. It's quite tall. And, you know, suddenly you're all the way over in this end of the street, and then you're back on this end because it spans the length of five townhouses. And my favorite thing, I think the one they said that was the most difficult to find, that they really kind of put the emphasis on for me, that I was like, well, I have to find this, was the wine cellar, because within the wine cellar was a hidden Elvis room. And, you know, that just makes sense. Well, it has to be on the bottom floor somewhere. I'm not going to give, like, specifics away, but this is my process of deduction here. It has to be on the bottom floor somewhere. You know, it's probably near the kitchen because it's a wine cellar, and that's just practical. And, you know, so that's just what starts to get the gears turning. So I was just on a roll, like, here's a door, here's a door, here's a door, here's a door. And my friends are like, Mallory, what is happening right now? I'm like, this is how I see my life every day. All the details. So I feel like we did a pretty good job finding most of the cool little hidden secrets and doors. I was very proud of the wine cellar. I was extra proud of the Elvis room. There is things like, not to give any specifics, I guess, or ruin things, but there's things like, you know, you could open this refrigerator and, oh, it's actually a secret door. So things that you could think to open, you know, would open. And the only time you couldn't explore a room is if someone had rented it out to stay the night in. And, you know, we were going through, and at one point I just found this unbelievably beautiful, very Barbie looking tweed suit from the 50s or 60s. I mean, it was probably late 50s, early 60s. And I'm like, I must have this. So their whole, you know, idea of also making it kind of like a thrift store and being able to buy the things that you see is such a great idea because it works. I mean, there's so many things in there. You're bound to find something. You're like, well, I can't leave without this. And another funny thing was there was a room where they had a bunch of like smaller vinyls. And one of the vinyls was of Ray Anthony, who I've known for years. He used to be a regular at the Playboy Mansion. He was a band leader back in the day, wrote the Bunny Hop. And I'm like, oh, that's Ray. So that was kind of funny that, you know, I knew someone in there from the merchandise that was scattered around. And I thought that was pretty exciting. And they had a Halloween corridor. They were decked out for Halloween because when I went, it was close to Halloween time. However, there is a Halloween corridor that is there all year round that is just decked out from head to toe of creepy, moving, scary Halloween mannequins, which was really fun for me. Might not be fun for everyone, but it's well marked when you get in there like, oh, this is the Halloween corridor. I should or should not pass. But it's almost like a playground for adults, which is why I liked it so much. Because it's stimulating, it's giving you the feel of being, you know, an explorer. You get to walk around this old building that spans the course of 5 buildings and, you know, go through this maze, figure out where you are and where you need to go. Kind of try to keep your spatial awareness and find as many hidden rooms and doors as you can. It was like a puzzle, and because of that, it was one of my favorite places that I have ever visited, let alone one of my favorite places in D.C. Definitely one of the weirdest places in D.C. I honestly can say I've never visited anywhere like it. So it's definitely on my list to return to. It was absolutely wonderful, and I just couldn't help but bring that up today because it was really quite exceptional. So I do hope you check out the mansion on O Street. Again, there's the Rosa Parks room. There's this room like a cabin. There's this bright, crazy colored bathrooms. Every room is so unique. There's an Africa room, you know, fashion design. They really took a lot of time and made it as clever as they possibly could. So that's pretty much what I can tell you about the mansion on O Street without giving away so much of the wonder. So be sure to visit. It is an absolutely amazingly wonderful place, and I cannot recommend it enough. Next on my list of bizarre places in Washington, D.C., I have for you the catacombs of D.C. Now, did you know that there are catacomb tunnels that you can go through in Washington, D.C.? Did you know that these tunnels are a replication of the catacombs of Rome? And that might not be quite as exciting as it sounds, but this little fact I'm going to add in makes it even more weird because it's just a replication. There are no people buried in these catacombs except for a small child enshrined for everyone to remember and pray to as a symbol to pray for the children. So, let's talk more about this. As I asked, did you know that DC has catacombs? How about the fact that these catacombs were designed to be a replica of the ones found in Rome? Well, now you do. In DC, there is a Franciscan monastery known as the Franciscan Monastery of the Holy Land in America that offers free daily tours. I'm going to repeat that. These tours are free. You just have to sign up and make sure you're on the list, but they are free. The chapel itself of the church is breathtakingly beautiful and worth the visit to see alone. It's one of the few really well-embellished, beautiful churches I've seen, probably in the States, because our churches usually don't look like that. I did feel like I was in Europe, for sure, looking at this breathtaking church. It has shining surfaces painted in a pseudo-gold and a dispenser of holy water for any who want to take some with them. No, really. It had a dispenser of holy water. I will say, we were kind of wandering in the beginning and got to look around and check things out before the tour started. And there was like a water cooler, like one of those metal-ish water coolers with like a little spigot you can turn. That was full of holy water with a nice little note that was like, please don't take more than X amount. And it was some crazy amount, like a gallon or something. So you could just go in with a water bottle and fill it up with holy water. Just FYI, I've never seen a holy water dispenser before, but that was kind of worth it in itself because how bizarre. So you can see all this yourself. And, you know, when you do a tour, you get to also get a guided tour of the church itself, and they give you all the details of whatever you can find in there. However, with the guided tour, you are given access to the area below the church, which wind down and around in a way that mimics the catacombs of the Franciscan Monastery in Rome. The only difference here, as I mentioned before, is that there are no dead bodies in the catacombs, except for one of a small child enshrined for everyone to remember to pray for the children. It was supposedly built back in the day for people who were unable to take the trip to Rome so they too could appreciate the holy catacombs. And it's really quite interesting. There's two sides, so they can kind of split groups up and you can go through either side. And it's like a small passageway like you would expect catacombs to be, with these like carved out places in the side where they would put, you know, a coffin. Well, there's no coffins. It's just like, you know, these little like caved in areas, like this is where a coffin would be, but this is where a coffin would be. The tour takes you through the winding catacombs and into the purgatory room, which is adorned with beautiful mosaics all over the walls. Mosaics that show death and resurrection. I will honestly say I was entranced by the skeleton mosaics. They are freaky. They are beautiful. Just, I don't think I've ever seen mosaics made into these gorgeous little skeletal alignments there, but it was pretty cool. The tour is relatively quick, very informative, and most definitely worth a visit since it takes you down under the chapel into the replicated catacombs. And it's in Washington, D.C. Who knew? And, you know, I mean, they were very friendly about filming and taking pictures. And, you know, I'm kind of like trying to fight to get to the front so I can get some video for this because, I mean, it was really wild. My list of weird things in Washington is still growing, but these two places alone can constitute a relatively full day of exploration in D.C. So what else? I have a few other little things to say. Those are my two greatest finds, personally. And if you look at Atlas Obscura, of course, the mansion on O Street is the first one listed because it's so unique and wonderful. But aside from that, I will say there is, within Washington, D.C., the Museum of the Bible, which is owned by a nonprofit organization established in 2010, and it houses many, many documents regarding the narrative, history, and impact the Bible has had on the world throughout centuries. It opened in 2017 and has about 2,000 items on loan from institutions and different collections related to the Bible. Though the museum claims it doesn't have a sect and it's not political and will not have any kind of political agenda, members of the board of directors have to sign a faith statement regarding the truth of the Bible. So that kind of sounds like that's not true, but, you know, it is what it is. This is also interesting about the Museum of the Bible. The year before it launched, it kind of went through an investigation and had to field questions about the acquisition of its collection, including a federal case trying to see if they smuggled Iraqi antiquities and thousands of clay artifacts, as well as other questions regarding some of their exhibits and artifacts. The museum's dedication ceremony received an official blessing from Pope Francis himself. Pretty crazy. It charges for admission, and get this, it has a dining area, including a restaurant called Mana that serves kosher foods, and it has the Milk and Honey Cafe. And, you know, total sidebar. I mean, everyone knows the joke. I hear it's flowing with milk and honey regarding the promised land from the Bible. And in VeggieTales, there was some song where somebody sings, "I hear it's flowing with milk and honey." So that's what I think of every time I hear that. Just in case you needed to know that. Another weird thing, there's an International Spy Museum, which is another nonprofit history museum dedicated to espionage. Holds the largest collection of international espionage artifacts on public display. So that's interesting. And, even more interesting probably than what's inside, it has a very strange-looking building. So you should Google International Spy Museum and just take a look at this weird glass, like, square structure with a red top. It's quite bizarre. The National Capitol Columns is another thing you can see in D.C. that's pretty bizarre. It was the old columns of the U.S. Capitol that are kind of like standing in a field now, and it's just very interesting looking. So that's another one. The stairs from The Exorcist are there. There was a brewmaster's castle, which is a Gothic brewery that's been pumping, you know, and making beer for hundreds of years, and I missed that one too. But that's on the docket for next time. The Capitol stones, which are huge piles of historically significant stones, were dumped by Congress in a forest. So there's like a hike that kind of goes out that way. That's another just bizarre thing there. There's also, you know, I don't even see it on this list here. I'm referencing a list just to make sure I don't forget anything. But I don't even see this. There's a Barbie pond. Someone that, like, rented one of the houses on one of the old streets there created this whole, like, Barbie area. This is, like, well before the Barbie movie. I mean, this has been going on for, like, a decade or more. They're, like, created a Barbie pond outside on their front yard, and they will change out the Barbies pretty frequently and put them in different positions and have different things going on. And it's, like, this really weird, bizarre art statement, and I'm all about it. I actually tried to get an interview there, and they're very funny because they come back and, "We're very shy. You can, you know, get as much footage as you want of the actual Barbie pond, but, you know, we're too shy to talk about it. We're just a bunch of dolls." But I mean, I guess there are so many things you could kind of consider weird in DC. A lot of people list artifacts and things that are found within the Smithsonian's. Also, just a sidebar here, not that I would call them particularly bizarre, but if you have never been to the Smithsonian's, they're definitely worth a visit. I love them. I pretty much every time I go get caught up in the Natural History Museum there, and I always want to go see other places, but I feel like I wouldn't have had a successful trip if I didn't get to see the National History Museum. So I kind of wind up getting stuck there and missing a lot of other relevantly wonderful things. But I love the History Museum and their display of animals from all around the world, that elephant when you first walk in. It's just so iconic. And of course the Hope Diamond is there. I mean, really, just like, how can you not want to check out the Hope Diamond when it's just right there for you to look at? The Art Museum is wonderful. I know they have their Degas in there. Oh, love it so much. And, you know, everybody loves and talks about the Air and Space Museum. Somehow it's on, like, the list of weird places. I think it's so mainstream that I don't think I would call it particularly weird. But it's a great place to check out. I It was underrated for me. When I was a kid, I was kind of like, eh, whatever. I didn't really care so much about it, but it has definitely grown on me, I will say, as an adult. And I mean, just to have all those, you know, planes and spacecrafts and things of that nature all together in one place, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, the Wright brothers, I'm a descendant on my mom's side from the Wright brothers, so I feel like I have to kind of go pay my respects there sometimes and check out that plane from Kitty Hawk. Now, before I call it, I'm going to end today with just some weird facts about Washington, D.C. I think that would be fun, some obscure facts here. I'll keep it brief because I might die of heat stroke otherwise. I'm still up here just melting, full of dripping sweat up here in my freakishly hot sound closet, my makeshift sound booth. Ha 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 ha. All right, so here's some fun facts about Washington, D.C. Two American presidents kept alligators while at the White House. Two of them. Anyone know who they are? Okay. It's Herbert Hoover and John Quincy Adams. Both had pet alligators while they were staying or living in the White House. The people in Washington, D.C. drink more wine per capita than any other U.S. state, which is pretty crazy. I mean, I guess there's a lot of I don't even know there's a lot of wineries in D.C., right? That's a pretty bizarre fact. Darth Vader adorns the National Cathedral. The National Cathedral has a bunch of gargoyles all around it, as many cathedrals do, and one of them is actually a sculpted head of Darth Vader, which is hard to see. I guess they put it there as an Easter egg. So if you go to the Northwest Tower of the National Cathedral, bring your binoculars and look up and check out to see if you can find Darth Vader. Washington, D.C. is missing a J Street. Now, why would that be relevant? So D.C. uses letters for streets traveling east to west, like the mansion on O Street is on O Street, but numbers are also used for streets. Streets traveling north and south are numbered. The I and the J were too similar in Old English, so they were pretty interchangeable. So Thomas Jefferson would often use the initials T-I because it was compatible with T-J. Oddly enough, this is why there's no J Company during World War II and why there's no J Street, so people don't get confused because the J and the I looked alike and were pretty much interchangeable. I think this one I knew. There are marble bathtubs in the Capitol building. They were installed in 1859 to keep senators from stinking. Oh, during that time, they lived in boarding houses that had no running water. Ugh. I think everybody probably knows this. There are underground tunnels beneath the Capitol. They're also underneath the Smithsonian as well. So that, and the Capitol is right there, you know, at the end of the stretch of Smithsonian. So there are a bunch of, you know, tunnels down under there that connect and also lead to the Smithsonian archives. So there is a crypt under the Capitol building made for George Washington. And he was not actually buried there. But even though they didn't put him there, his crypt still exists. And they had a viewing chamber built so people could go by and see him. Here's a good one. One of the unknown soldiers has been identified. In 1998, a soldier buried in the Tomb of Unknown Soldiers was identified. All roads in the city of Washington, D.C. lead to the Capitol building. It's the dividing center for all the quadrants of the city, so all roads actually do lead to the Capitol building. Underneath the Washington crypt that we mentioned above, there is a nuclear fallout shelter. How about that? We all know how much I loved the Fallout show because we talked about that one of these last times, too. I think everyone probably knows that John Adams was the first president to live in the White House. George Washington never lived there. It was built after he died. Some of these aren't very shocking, like the Library of Congress is the largest library in the world. You can see the world's largest obelisk when you visit. That's right, you should know what I'm talking about here. The Washington Monument is 555 feet and 5 1/8 inches tall, making it the tallest obelisk in the world. So we all, I think most of us know that D.C. stands for the District of Columbia, named after none other than Christopher Columbus. That is actually true. It is called the District of Columbia to honor Christopher Columbus. So apparently, until 1901, after Roosevelt made it official and it appeared in the newspaper article, the White House was called the President's Palace or the President's House. The Lincoln Memorial is far more famous than people give it credit for. I mean, I know it's iconic, but it was created 2 years after Abe Lincoln was assassinated and was constructed in 1914. It was also where Martin Luther King Jr. made his famous I Have a Dream speech in 1963. I'm not sure I knew that. So that's those are my interesting facts about Washington, D.C. You probably don't know. Maybe you did know some of them. I definitely knew some of them. But that's all I have for you guys today. Again, I wanted to give another shout out to the mansion on O Street because it really was just one of the most incredible places I've been. It makes you feel like a true explorer and investigator, and I can't recommend it enough. And the catacombs in D.C. are just bizarre. And getting to visit catacombs in the States at all is pretty remarkable. So make sure you check those out next time you're in Washington, D.C. too. I'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, stay weird.